today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Politics? Politics? Are you kidding me? I just want to watch soccer.
Hey, everybody. Happy Friday. This is Patrick. And those of you who have been listening all week know that my co-host, all-around great person, Jim Linehan, is not able to be on the show this week. And I just want to say thanks so much to those who have helped out. The Bish on Monday and Tuesday for talking about XTC. The incredible, incredible Stephen Routledge and Justin Steiner for stepping up and giving us that great discussion of the Afghan Whigs 1965 album. And today, Mike Snyder and Phil Ingrassia, two guys whose voices you've heard many times on this show and are well known to our community, have stepped up with a cool idea to talk about political songs. And I think, as you're going to hear on this episode of Rockin' the Suburbs, they take a very interesting, measured, and thoughtful approach to this. And Mike, if you wouldn't mind just kind of laying out what your thoughts were when you guys sort of came up with this episode.
Well, Patrick, thanks. With the recent 2020 election and what seems to be an ongoing political impasse, Phil and I thought perhaps a discussion of political songs might be appropriate. I mean, politics has always been a topic of music, you know, from the beginning of recorded music to, you know, modern bands, including favorites like R.E.M. and U2. So there's plenty of examples we could point out.
Phil and Mike each chose three songs, and you're going to hear the song, a little clip from the song, and then you're going to hear their thoughts on that tune, and maybe a little extra as we go through this. But we're going to kick it off right now with a selection from Phil.
This land is your land, and this land is my land, from the California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. As I went a-walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway, saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me. I roamed and rambled, and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts. All around me a voice was sounding, this land was made for you and me. When the sun comes shining, then I was strolling in the wheat fields waving and the dust clouds rolling. The voice was chanting as the fog was lifting, this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, and this land is my land, from California.
Yeah, you know, the idea of shut up and sing has probably been around since who knows when, but it certainly started where I first kind of learned about it was with Woody Guthrie, right? You know, he was a very outspoken person for the downtrodden, and it certainly reflected in his music. And he's a great American hero, honored, you know, throughout the country for his songs. And, you know, his best known song, it's a song most of us learned as children, right? This land is your land. And as you dig into it, you find out that the kind of sanitized version we all learned in grade school, there's a lot more to it than, you know, singing with, you know, grade school kids. I mean, some of the lines that they usually chopped out was like, you know, about the trespassing and that the lands were getting closed out from people who, you know, they were literally closing the border of California to people from Oklahoma if they didn't have enough money. So, you know, there's a big high wall there that tried to stop me. Sign was painted. It said private property. But on the backside, it didn't say nothing. This land was made for you and me. So there's a lot of deeper meaning to that song than we may have noticed. Avett Brothers just released a version of it last week, you know. So it really continues to speak to people. And his whole story is one of, you know, kind of fighting back against the man from his very early days on the radio. And then, you know, going around to worker camps and raising money. You know, he came to a very sad end, but he was a very important artist in Americana. And just one of my favorites still. I still listen to those original recordings.
I always like to note that Woody Guthrie's guitar bore the legend, "This machine kills fascists."
Absolutely. If anybody is an American hero and icon, it's Woody Guthrie. Why don't we go now to Mike, his selection, which I think thematically really links up with what Phil kicked us off with.
So before I put my first song out there, I want to make clear that I don't think, and I think Phil's on board with me on this, that we don't consider these the greatest political songs or protest songs. I mean, there's a great tradition of political music from Billie Holiday's Strange Fruit, Sam Cooke's A Change Is Gonna Come, Nina Simone's Mississippi Goddamn. I mean, Pete Seeger's out there, the Beatles, Marvin Gaye, John Lennon, Stevie Wonder, Bob Marley. I mean, all these people had great political and protest songs, but these are just a selection of songs that really stuck with us through the years. And so my first selection is kind of related to This Land Is Your Land, as it's akin to a passing of the baton of protest singers. Bob Dylan was greatly influenced by Woody Guthrie, and most of you know that, in fact, Dylan, in 61, visited Guthrie in the hospital in New Jersey, where he suffered from Huntington's disease. Well, he began his career as a folk singer, and on his second album, The Freewheeling Bob Dylan, that established him as a force to be reckoned with. And that album, released in 1963, included classic protest songs such as Blowin' in the Wind and A Hard Rain's Gonna Fall. But I selected this song.
Come, you masters of war. Here that build the big guns. Here that build the death planes. Here that build all the bombs. Here that hide behind walls. Here that hide behind disks. I just don't want you to know I can see through your masks. You that never done nothing but build to destroy. You play with my world like it's your little toy. You put a gun in my hand and you hide from my eyes. And you turn and run farther when the fast bullets fly. Like Judas of old, you lie and deceive. A world war can be won. You want me to believe, but I see through your eyes. And I see through your brain like I see through.
Now, Masters of War, I mean, is incredible. I mean, I remember singing Blown in the Wind in chorus, but as I got older, this song became the song that stood out for me, you know, just because of its imagery and the tenor of the song. I know the, you know, those lines where they talk about watching the person in their grave, make sure they don't come back, you know, it's just always stuck with me. This is a song that Dylan continued to play throughout the years when he was touring, and I saw him perform it many times. A really cool thing, my friend and one-time colleague Edna Gunderson interviewed Dylan in 2001, and he said Masters of War is, quote, it's supposed to be a pacifist song against war. It's not an anti-war song. It's speaking against what Eisenhower was calling a military-industrial complex as he was making his exit from the presidency. Anyway, it's a great song, and it's still relevant today.
Beautiful choice, Mike. I'm very well said. Now we're going to go to another artist that I think everybody in our community probably knows about, and most of you almost certainly have this record in your collection.
When they kick at your front door, how you gonna come? Put your hands on your head or on the trigger of your gun? When the law break in, how you gonna go? Shut down on the pavement or waiting in death pool? You can crush us, you can bruise us, but you'll have to.
It's hard to, for me to think about political songs without thinking about The Clash, right? And, you know, they were really the first, you know, quote-unquote punk band I ever really listened to with any regularity. You know, London Calling is one of my top five records of all times. And the song I picked off that record is one I didn't initially really like that much. The Guns of Brixton. And just the lyrics of it, you know, when they knock at your front door, how are you going to come with your hands on your head or on the trigger of your gun? You know, it's just so right. It's right in your face, right? And it isn't, you know, a Mick Jones or Joe Strummer song. It's Paul Simon. And he was just starting to write songs, I guess, at that point. And Joe Strummer encouraged him to finish it. And it's one that is, even though maybe I didn't like it, it wasn't my favorites on that record, it's certainly stuck with me over the years as just a real, real angry song, and not a pacifist song. It's a song about, you know, police brutality and, you know, we're not going to take it anymore type of a sentiment to it. And very edgy, right? I mean, if you think about some of the musicality on that record, you know, compared to their earlier stuff, you know, Lost in the Supermarket and all that stuff that has kind of a more of a sheen on it, this one definitely has some sharp angles. Mike and I have an aside about this one because in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s, Paul Simon was in a band, kind of a punk rock supergroup called Havana 3AM, with a guy named Gary Myrick, who had been in Gary Myrick and the Figures, who put out a great, great couple of records in the early 80s. Anyway, Simon was in this band, and the only, you know, cover that was allowed was Paul ripped into the Guns of Brixton. And I remember looking at Mike going, holy crap, I can't believe that. Mike and I have an aside about this one too, because in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s, Paul Simon was in a band, kind of a punk rock supergroup called Havana 3AM, with a guy named Gary Myrick, who had been in Gary Myrick and the Figures, who put out a great couple of records in the early 80s. Anyway, Simon was in this band, and the only, you know, cover that was allowed was Paul ripped into the Guns of Brixton. And I remember looking at Mike going, holy crap, I can't believe that.
Getting a chance to see that song performed live, you know, at the Double Mind 30 Club was incredible. I mean, the Clash were great at mixing politics and socioeconomics into the music with songs like Spanish Bombs and Watching the Bullets. So definitely belongs on the list.
And then one really strange aside, too, is after the show, I was this big Gary Myrick fan from when I was in college. So I went up to Gary and I said, hey, you know, great show, good band. I said, too bad you can't play any Gary Myrick and the Figures songs. And he says, yeah, man, I can't really do it in this with this new gig. He says, but thanks. Then he looks at me and goes, hey, do you know any girls around here? I looked at him and I said, no, man, we didn't bring any dates to this one.
Love that story. Fantastic. Great stuff, Phil. An awesome choice. Let's kick it back over to Mr. Snyder and see what he's got for his second choice.
My next song I have a personal connection to when I was a young reporter in Independence, Missouri, which is an eastern suburb of Kansas City, Missouri. I talked my editors into letting me go do a story on John Mellencamp as he was going to make an appearance in Chillicothe, Missouri. This was May 1986. I'd been a fan of his since the John Cougar album back in 1979. And it wasn't a concert. He played three songs, seeking to bring attention to the plight of farmers and unfair loan deals they'd been saddled with. He played Small Town and Pink Houses and this song.
Sniffer on a wooden cross, blackbird in the barn, 400 empty acres that used to be my farm. Grew up like my daddy did, my grandpa cleared this land. When I was five, I walked a fence while grandpa held my hand. Rain on the scarecrow, blood on the plow. This land for the nation, this land made me proud. Son, I'm just sorry there's no legacy for you now. Rain on the scarecrow, blood on the plow. Rain on the scarecrow, blood on the plow. Crops grew last summer, enough to pay the loan. Could buy the seed to plant this spring in the farmer's bank foreclosed. Come on, old friend, shipment up to auction off the land. He said, John, it's just my job, and I hope you understand. They calling it your job, oh, horse, sure don't make it right. If you want me to, I'll say a prayer for your soul tonight.
Now, all these songs are about the plight of average Americans, and but Rain on the Scarecrow is so vivid in the descriptions. You know, he says, quote, and grandma's on the front porch, on the front porch swing with a Bible in her hand. Sometimes I hear her singing, take me to the promised land. When you take away a man's dignity, he can't work his fields and cows. I mean, that's true to life verbiage. That's how people talked about working cows. I mean, the average person that doesn't work, lived on the farm like me would think, you know, tending cows or taking care of cows or whatever. But Mellencamp did the homework, you know, and he was impassioned about the family farmer, and he helped found a farm aid, I think the same year that album came out. And I'd get to go to a farm aid in 1987 in Nebraska and several other ones in Virginia in the years to come.
I think that record really put him in another you know, stratosphere of this, you know, and I don't mean this so serious, but a serious artist. I mean, he was much more than Jack and Diane. He really was going to take a stand. And I used to joke, you know, that, you know, Mellencamp was a poor man's Bruce Springsteen. But I will tell you, I put them on the same pedestal, in my view. They're both, you know, put out a string of great records in the 80s, and it's hard to argue how important they were to that time and place. And certainly Mellencamp has continued to be a very strong voice for the middle America. And, you know, he can be a prickly personality for sure, but I mean, he puts his money where his mouth is, I'll tell you that.
A couple of sides here is that at that farm aid in Nebraska, I got to see Lou Reed perform Sweet Jane and Walk on the Wild Side, which is still a musical highlight in my repertoire, so to speak. Mellencamp didn't quit doing social songs. Other songs that are in his library include We Are the People from The Lonesome Jubilee and Jackie Brown from Big Daddy. Those are a couple of my favorites.
All right, and I'm anxious to hear what Phil has to say about this next one. Looking at the list and in a little bit of a preview, getting ready for this episode, I was like, this is a very interesting one. So I can't wait to hear the thoughts behind this choice. But let me get this record queued up here and drop the needle on this tune.
Here's another one that, you know, when it came out, and I remember it because it was such a big hype, it was Patti Smith's Dream of Life record that she had been taking care of her husband for a long time, had basically not done anything for almost a decade, right, after making those great records in the 70s. And so Dream of Life comes out, and the lead single is People Have the Power, right? And again, I was just like, you know, I'm not sure I like this song that much. But as it's aged, it's really, really an important song. And it was coming out of the, you know, end of the Reagan era. And you just felt like it spoke to the people taking it to the streets or whatever. And the people do have the power if they want to use it. And it's a really powerful song. It's a little like Guns of Brixton too. It's got kind of a driving beat to it. Again, it was one at the time I was like, I'm not sure I like it, but boy, over the last, you know, couple decades, it's sure held up. I would say that.
I'm so glad Phil and I got a chance to see Patti Smith perform People Have the Power at that show, George Mason. I mean,
almost exactly 8 years ago, December 1st, 2012.
I hadn't ever really been a big fan of her. I knew of her importance. I knew she was a big influence on Michael Stipe of REM. And, you know, that song really has power when you see her perform it live. Interestingly, there's a video of her singing that on the streets of New York the day before this most recent election that is out on social media. She and Lenny Kaye just did it on the streets, and it's incredible to see that happen.
Yeah, you're right, Mike. And you know, that may be what turned me on this song, was seeing her do it live, opening for Neil Young on the floor of the Eagle Bank Arena. It was really something. And I just remember how engaging and loving she came out. Because, you know, those album covers where she's staring out at you, the maple thrower. Yeah, you're like, oh, man, I'm scared. She was so engaging and so she seemed like she didn't want to be anywhere else but in front of that crowd opening for Neil Young. And I'll tell you, she won me over 10 times over with that performance, because she was great. She was really good.
Wow. Cool, cool story there. Power of live music, man. What can you say? Phil, thank you for three really cool selections. Woody Guthrie, The Clash, and Patti Smith. And now we're going to turn it over to Mr. Snyder here to wrap us up and take us out on this political songs episode.
Well, Patrick, thanks. My last song, you know, as I mentioned about Patti Smith not being a gigantic fan, I'm not a gigantic fan of Rage Against the Machine, but this song from the first album has just always been a part of my musical memory. I mean, once I heard it, it stuck with me, and it's still, I mean, it's even more relevant today. It's a song about racism and police brutality, and it resurfaced in the last year or so as we've seen a series of police killings of black men and women and the more public displays of white supremacy. I mean, you listen to the song, you feel the aggression and desperation in the guitar work, the bass, and Zach De La Roca's vocals. Man, it just sounds so incredible, and it makes me realize the bad feeling. I know a lot of my friends wanted to see this band in their reunion tour this year that was nixed because of COVID-19. You know, this song is very misunderstood, too. I mean, after the election, there was a social media video of being passed around of Trump supporters who were in Philadelphia where votes were still being counted, and they were dancing to this song. And Tom Morello and the official Rage Against the Machine Twitter account both got on and tweeted saying, "That's not exactly what we had in mind. They just don't get it." Other songs that, I mean, are misunderstood and were used, you know, during the election recently include Born in the USA, you know, by Bruce Springsteen, and Rockin' in the Free World by Neil Young. You know, the Springsteen, you know, Patrick, when you talk about how do you get a song that's so well done that could be people can relate to individually, but also be like an anthem, you know, in the verses, you know, Springsteen really told a story about a character who was in a bad situation, in part probably caused because of our nation's politics. And the chorus, you know, Born in the USA, really hooks you in. And I would guess those that misunderstand the song just deal with the hook and don't listen to the characters in between the choruses.
Beautiful. Thank you, Mike, very much. For those comments. And Phil, thank you guys so much for stepping up to help and get us through this week and keeping hope alive here on Suburbs Pod that Jim will one day return and everything will be good again. Because when you leave me in charge, you never know what's going to happen. So let's not risk it for another week. But I'm sure we're all going to be very, very glad to hear Jim's voice next week.
I mean, we just scratched the surface on political and protest songs, you know, so I think any listeners that have one or two they'd like to bring to your attention, you know, they can respond to @SuburbsPod on the social networks or to me if you want to at Mike Snyder on Twitter, and people that listen to the show know where I'm at on Facebook and everything.
And I want to say thanks a lot once again to Mike and Phil for doing this. I'm going to take us out with a little political song of my own. Hope you guys will really take the call on this one to come up with your selections that you think fits into this theme. We'd love to have a couple follow-up episodes on this topic of political songs. Obviously,
It's a big box that you can open and jump in. There's all kinds of things you could come up with around this topic, the personal, the political, you know, everything. So do your best to, and you got the weekend to think about it. And you can call us up. The Suburban Party Line is always open. And go to suburbspod.com. And you can find the number there. You can find all the ways to get in touch with us. You can sign up for our newsletter that comes out every Friday. It's free, keeps you up to date on all the happenings, news, and notes of Suburbs Pod Land. And, you know, we want to hear your voice whenever possible, but you can also find us on the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at Suburbs Pod. All right, everybody, enjoy your weekend. And here is a little political selection from me, Patrick Foster. We will talk to you guys next week.
Can you really sure what the goddamn time it is? Can you take the dirt with the fist of a foreigner? I ain't gonna fight when they call out your number. Can you toe the line? Can you repeat what you've been told? Can you bite the bullet?
Da, 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 da. I hear me. Actually, I don't even hear myself.